Great to see you, kids. As they're heading out, can you please open your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 14. We're going to be looking at verses 21 to 28. So as the kids head out, you guys can open your swords. Acts chapter 14, verses 21 to 28, as we look to the word of the Lord. It's on this. The words will also be on the screen behind me. Let us hear the word of the Lord. They, and that is Paul and Barnabas, preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Antioch. From Antioch, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me start with the question this morning. What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to do to see the kingdom of God grow in Trent Hills? What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to do to see the kingdom of God advance in the community that you represent? Because you might be here today and you're not from Trent Hills and all the communities that surround us. A hog and a hen sharing the same barnyard heard about a church's program to feed the hungry. The hog and then the hen discussed how they could help. How could we help with this need? Well, the hen said, I've got it. We'll provide bacon and eggs for the church to feed the hungry. The hog thought about the suggestion and said, well, there's one problem with your bacon and eggs solution. For you, it only requires a contribution. But for me, it means total commitment. Bacon and eggs. That's the cost of true discipleship. So I want you not to be thinking about lunch, but to be thinking about, are you contributing or are you committing to the work of God's kingdom in the community that you represent? Bacon or eggs? Last Sunday we learned the church exists to develop disciples. Disciples who love God, disciples who love the church, and disciples that love one another. And yes, that includes the people beside you, in front of you, behind you. That includes the people on this side, or in that side, and the people in the middle as well. Everyone. And Paul and Barnabas, we looked at their lives in Acts 14, the first part, and we saw how God was using them in a place called Lystra. And it wasn't easy for Paul and Barnabas because they're on this mission to develop disciples. There's been good reception. There's been some people that are open to what they have to hear, but there's also many times that they're rejected, they're opposed, and oftentimes that can get hostile. And where we ended was Paul was stoned in Lystra. He was thrown out of the city, left to dead, but God miraculously raised him up. He went back into the city because he was determined that nothing was going to stop him. That's commitment, isn't it? That is not just a contribution. So they're on this journey of discipleship. And in our passage today, I want us to take note of four important lessons about discipleship And we see that in our passage, because Paul now is in Barnabas. They're going from Lystra, and our passage begins by saying they are in a new city, and that city is called Derbe. And it says in verse 21, if you have your Bibles with me, in verse 21, they preached the good news in that city, that's the city of Derbe, and then won a large number of disciples. So in our first passage, in our text, in our passage, the first point I want us to see is that disciples need to be made. Okay, disciples need to be made. And what does Paul do when he arrives? He preaches the good news. And in Acts 14, 15, you'll see this on the slide as well, this is a great verse that summarizes the message, the good news that Paul preached in every community that he went to. And here we have it. It says, let's read it together. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And so here, the good news, the gospel message is very clear. Paul is calling on people to turn from these worthless things and turn to the living God who made heaven and earth, the sea and everything. And I think it's a wonderful description of two words, repentance and belief. Amen. Repentance is turning from worthless things, and in this case it was idols, pagan practices that Paul ran into the people that he ministered to. And he calls them out. And he helps them to see that you're not going to find any peace or hope there. You're only going to find it when you repent of your sins and turn to the living God. Amen. Belief is turning to the living God. And you need to do both. You need to repent of your sins and you need to put your trust in Jesus Christ. And I don't know what worthless things are in your life today that you need to turn from. But whatever it is, heed the word of God. Turn from it. And place your complete trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation. Because only Jesus satisfies. Do you believe that? With all your heart, do you believe that only Jesus satisfies? People are looking in all the wrong places to fill the emptiness in their souls. That is true. That was true then. And that is why God used Paul and Barnabas so effectively to reach these people. But that's so true in our own community, in our own neighborhoods. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. When the disciples were with Jesus in this moment, when Jesus spoke this I am truth, they were looking to Jesus for another bagel, or croissant, or piece of toast. And Jesus was saying, that's not why I'm here, that's not what you need. You need me. You need a relationship with me. That is the answer to your hunger, to your longing. Jesus is the only and ultimate source of spiritual nourishment and eternal life. Amen. So as Paul and Barnabas are on their missionary trip, they are calling people to faith, making disciples of Christ. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. Being made into a disciple means being made into a follower of Jesus Christ. We cannot overlook that point, because your journey of discipleship began the moment you said yes to Jesus. Agreed? That's when it started. Being made into a disciple means that we understand. We came to that place where we recognized that we were sinners in need of a Savior. We understand that Jesus came and lived a perfect life. That he died on the cross, paying the penalty of our sins, but then he rose from the dead, went back into heaven. The Holy Spirit came to fill every believer in Jesus Christ, and he made us totally new when we turned from our sin and placed our trust in God. That was the good news that Paul preached in this new city. But let's pick up on the word disciple as we see in verse 21. Because in verse 21, they preached the good news in that city. A large number of disciples were won. Wow. What a moment that must have been. Because wherever Paul and Silas are going, wherever the Holy Spirit is leading them, there are people that are receiving the good news, but there are people that are rejecting the good news. And here, clearly, people receive the good news. And this is what we are to be about as the church. Not merely seeing new converts, but making disciples. Now, new converts is exciting, isn't it? And God could add 3,000 to our very church family today if that was his will. Wouldn't that be something? We couldn't all meet in here, that's for sure. But new converts, it's exciting, and it's great, and we want to see more and more. I don't know about you, but I do. I would say 90% in my own neighborhood aren't saved. Would you say the same for your own? We need to be reaching them. More people making decisions for Jesus Christ. More people beginning their life with God and putting their trust in Jesus. And if that's not you today, guess what? It can be. If you've never made that decision in your life, we pray that you will hear the voice of Jesus calling you to do that today. Come to me. Surrender your life completely. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Turn your life over to God. Now, we want more and more people to do that, but we recognize, and please recognize with me, that that initial decision to be a follower of Christ is just that, an initial decision. There is a life of discipleship after that, where you are now a follower, a learner of Jesus. So, and you know how long that lasts? How long does that discipleship life last? Until you die. Until the Lord takes you home. And this is what God is doing. He's making us disciples. So let me ask you, has your conversion transitioned into a discipleship where you're seeking Jesus more in a deeper way? And you're trying to follow after him with all of your heart?
Okay.
It's good to think about that. Disciples need to be made. That includes you, that includes me. And I know it's a continual work. It is. Sanctification is for life. The process by which the Holy Spirit, as we cooperate with him, through trust and obedience, become more like Christ every day. That is daily, that is for however many days that God gives us. And I know it's continual work. I'm not saying that all the changes happen at once. But there should be some sort of progression of discipleship in the Christian life. There really should be a greater maturity, a greater depth in your faith walk than somebody, let's say, who's been a Christian 20 years from somebody who's been a Christian for perhaps 2 years. Would you agree?
Amen.
Yeah. There should be a depth of discipleship that progresses in the one who's walked with God after 20 years and the one who's been walking with God perhaps for 1 or 2 years. So has there been a progression in your walk with God? If you think about your life today that it was a year ago today, are you closer to God? Do you want to be closer to God?
Yeah.
If you have stalled out in your walk with God, because does that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, for some Christians, that is what happens. There's a bit of a stall. There's a breakdown. But I encourage you today, if that is you, rededicate your life to following Jesus as his disciple. You can do that even right now. Commit. Completely surrender all that you are to him. Because why? There is no greater purpose in life than to be a follower of Jesus Christ. There is no greater joy. You will know no greater hope and peace and love than when you give your entire life over to him. And this is what was the passion of Paul and Barnabas. It was the passion of Jesus who gave us the Great Commission. Go into all the earth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And I love one definition of discipleship, which is plainly this: the relaying of truth through relationship. And if that's what, if you like that definition, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, that looks like grandparents and their grandkids. That looks like a coach and their one of the players on their team. That can look like a big brother and a little sister. The relaying of truth through relationship. So there's a depth of discipleship that we are called to, and I hope you get that this morning, because disciples need to be made.
Amen.
In our walk with the Lord. And everyone here needs to take responsibility for their discipleship.
Amen.
Isn't, you know, as a pastor, of course, as pastors, we love the opportunity to be used by God to encourage you in your faith. But you know what? It's not up to Pastor Lionel and I whether you take your spiritual formation serious, your walk with God. That's between you and God. That's you taking your discipleship, your own, making it your own, being responsible for it. You get that?
Right. preach it.
So that's where God calls us to in our pastors today. And after their work in Derby, because it's very brief, it just says they preached the good news, they won a large number of disciples, then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Look at verse 22. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to their faith. That's the next point. I love this next point. They're going back to where they came. They're retracing their steps. They're not going to new cities. But God turns them around and says, okay, I want you to go back through the towns that you just came from. You planted churches. There are new believers. There are new believers that need to be discipled in those communities. Go back through there. Greet them. Encourage them, love them, teach them to know what Jesus commands of us. And that takes us to our next point. Disciples need to be strengthened. Luke tells us what Paul and Barnabas did as they went back through those towns. To the believers that were there, to the church that was planted, that they encountered, they strengthened them, they encouraged them to continue in the faith. Let's focus on the word strengthened for a moment. The word strengthened means to make something stronger or effective. Now, cycling is good exercise. It strengthens all the muscles in the body. Builders, construction workers sometimes have to strengthen existing joists by adding additional timber to make that building or that deck more secure, more stable. Our immune system needs to be strengthened by healthy eating and rest, vitamin D, whatever else you can do. Marriages need to be strengthened. And that happens when both husband and wife are willing to work together in humility and trust, in grace and forgiveness, to change their ways in order to center the relationship on God. And that is how you build a marriage that honors God. But not just a marriage, any relationship. And spiritually, because the word strengthened, it applies to so much of our life and so many areas in our life. But spiritually, Christians need to be strengthened in the Lord each day. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And I love how the truth there is this. There is only one true source of power and strength. Don't ever forget what that is, who that is. That's the living God Almighty. How do you strengthen yourself in the Lord? Through faith and prayer. Through worship and fellowship. Through Bible study. And if after today you've been strengthened in your faith by being at church, how about you share that with somebody? Perhaps over tea or coffee. Or coffee if there's no more tea. Paul and Barnabas helped plant these churches. And they're leading people to Christ. They didn't want to leave them to themselves. They wanted to strengthen them and encourage them. Can you imagine a newborn baby being born? And then the parents simply saying, well, good luck to you. All the best. Growing up, looking after yourself. To a baby, it's crazy to think about that. That's not possible. That baby wouldn't survive at all. Just leaving the baby to themselves. No way. In the same way, why should we leave a newborn disciple to themselves without encouragement and strengthening? No way. That's crazy. The idea here is that of building up other believers. You see this idea in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 where it says, encourage one another and build one another up. Not just newborn disciples that need it. Absolutely, they do. But those that have been following Christ for 20 years, they also need strengthening and encouragement. It doesn't say encourage one another and tear each other down, avoid each other, ignore each other, judge each other. No, it says very clearly, build one another. And God wants to use you to build someone up today in this very church. So be open to his leading. One reason it's obvious why we need to be strengthened is because Paul goes on to say in verse 22, did you see this? Look at the text. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith, verse 22, we must go through many, what's the word? Hardships to enter the kingdom of God. That's one reason enough why we need to cheer each other on, surround each other with praise because there's hardships. And every one of us is going through some type of hardship today in our life. And so we need to read that and remember that. Hardships are part of the journey of discipleship. And so that's why we need to strengthen each other and be led. And that's the next point. Look at verse 23. It says, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. So Paul and Barnabas saw that it was necessary to appoint elders. Why? Because disciples need to be led. We need to be led. And elders are known in the New Testament also as overseers or shepherds, bishops or pastors. And so Paul and Barnabas, when they're in these new church plants, in these new communities of new believers, they're going around being led by the Spirit, appointing people who will lead and organize the church. And I love what one scholar said about this passage. He said, the believers were given not only edification, but also organization. And we all know how important that is. God has a design for his church. There is an order to be established in a church family. And that design involves not only that disciples be encouraged, but also that they would be led and organized by godly elders, pastors, leaders. God doesn't want mass chaos for his church. And I think, that would happen. That would be the case, right? Without leadership, without direction, right? Everybody's kind of going the wrong way. There's no one to steer the ship. God doesn't want that. He has a design. And Paul and Barnabas recognized this design, so they installed elder pastors in these churches so that the disciples could be led once they leave. Notice also that what they did after they appointed elders. Do you see what the text said? They prayed. They fasted, and then they committed them to the Lord. What does this teach us here? This is a model for us. This model of prayer and fasting demonstrates the desire of Paul and Barnabas to have the Lord be involved. The Lord to be at the center of what God is doing in his church, in these communities, and in our community. And so they recognized that they needed the Lord, and that these churches needed the Lord. So they asked God to bless them, then they entrusted them to God. And so we learn here in this third point, disciples need to be led, okay? Made, strengthened, led, and the last point, disciples need each other. Let's pick up this verse in verse 26. Follow with me. So Paul, he ends up back in a place called Antioch. And you have to understand something. The church of Antioch was the church that commissioned Paul and Barnabas and then sent them out. Blessed them and sent them out. And now, I'm pretty sure it was a pretty exciting day when Paul and Barnabas came back. The reunion that this was. Because it tells us here, verse 26, they got back to Antioch where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. Verse 27, on arriving there, they gathered the church together. We're gathered together. They reported all that God had done through them. We got started on that earlier. What's God doing in your life today? And how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And so this is what happens last. The church of Antioch, the church that sent Paul and Barnabas out. Now, Paul and Barnabas are back, the work is complete. And when they arrived, they gathered the church together. They shared a report about all that God had done. And I love the perspective, of course, because Paul and Barnabas are telling of all that God had done with them. And I ask you, who did the work on their missionary journey? God. Who does the work through all the various ministries of Calvary Baptist Church? It's all about God. And to God be the glory for the work he is doing through the various ministries, whether it's the Busy Bees or the Kids Club, the Caring Hands, and all the different work that goes on here for Jesus. What a glorious thing this must have been. The people of God were coming together in celebration of the work of God. And this is why we gather for worship, isn't it? To praise God for what he has done, to praise God for what he is doing even now, and to give thanks and praise God for what he's still about to do. It's important that we walk with expectant faith and anticipation for what God can do next. But the church, it very clear appears that we need each other. The church, they prayed for Paul and Barnabas, and I'm sure they also financed part of their trip. They encouraged them, they strengthened them, And then they got to hear about all that God had done through their collaborative efforts. These disciples shared all this together because they needed one another. Church, we need each other. We need each other. Disciples need each other. We exist to develop disciples who love the church, who don't want to avoid or not show up or serve, but disciples that can't wait to be part of a church and serve in a church so that the name of Jesus is lifted up over all this great country of ours. God's design is that we would be a family, united together under the Lordship of Christ. So let's remember that point. We are better together. Now, part of your journey of discipleship is that you would be united with and involved in a church family. Because we are not here, what we are not here to do is build a kingdom of ourselves, our own kingdom. No, that's how the world would kind of have it. Build up your own kingdom. The kingdom of, you know, put your name there. No, we're here to build up the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Our purpose as Christ followers is to build God's kingdom through being disciples and making disciples of Jesus Christ. So let the example of Paul and Barnabas, as we see all through Acts 14 and as we close it off here today, be an example to you and the church as well of Antioch, because they were both committed to the task of developing disciples. So let me ask you, what are you willing to sacrifice to see the kingdom of God advance in Trent Hills or the community that you represent? In the late 1950s, a couple by the name of Doug and Marion Robinson lived in the Bancroft area. They both loved the Lord. They both wanted to be used by God to reach the lost in the Bancroft area. Now, for work, Doug would drive his Texaco truck through the small towns and farming areas where, 6 days a week, delivering fuel. And that's what he did, delivered fuel to these farms, to these families, businesses who needed it. And everywhere he went, as he drove his truck, he saw boys and girls with nothing to do. Just bored and probably getting into trouble. At this time, there was not much in the area for kids to get involved in. And many of these families where he drove his Texaco truck to, they were poor. They couldn't even afford to send their kids to a camp or a sports team if there was one going on. And Doug realized this the more he drove. And so Doug and Marion prayed daily together about the need. And as the days went by, God gave Doug a vision for a day camp that would reach these children. Doug believed that by faith, God would be trusted to meet the daily needs of this camp. They shared their burden with other Christians, and they prayed, and they asked God for the right property to build a camp that would run programs for local children to attend where they could hear the gospel, where the Bible would be taught, and where they didn't have to pay. And one day the Lord showed them a 9-acre field on Graphite Lake, just north of Bangkok. Doug prayed, Lord, if this is really your will and you want this camp to materialize, then keep this property for a camp. In the months that followed, building lots were sold off by owners on other parts of the lake, yet God kept this one plot, this best plot of shoreline available. The owners of the land were in sympathy with the camp prospect, but nearly 2 more years were to pass before Doug's prayer would be answered. And in those 2 years, God was preparing Doug and Marion for a life of full-time ministry. Little did they know. So, Doug and Marion realized one day God would ask them to give up their business and give up their lives to the Lord's service. And they gladly did it. The conviction grew, you see, that God would have Doug and Marion go into full-time ministry, establishing a camp where these kids who couldn't afford it would go and hear the good news. And as Doug and Marion wrestled with this decision, God eventually gave them peace to start a life of service, living completely by faith. Thus, in 1960, Graphite Bible Camp was born. Who's familiar with Graphite Bible Camp in here? Some of you are, maybe more and more. To this day, Graphite Bible Camp is still strictly run on free will donations and a very low overnight fee that is set to allow youth to be able to enjoy the camping experience, a program that keeps them pretty busy all day long. My son Micah just finished 1 week of this camp. But through all these programs, exposure to the love of God through very godly and wonderful counselors. They hear the good news, they hear Bible stories, they have a lot of activities. But all through the summer weeks, also, buses pick up kids, just so you know, from different designated locations in the Bangkok area. They drop them off at 10 a.m., and the kids are picked up at 5 p.m. to take them home. But what a wonderful ministry. And there are many like it, more than just Graphite. Perhaps you've been to a camp that has a similar story. Men and women who God gave a vision, and they trust and obey God, and they're making disciples because of it to this day. Where children and youth are introduced to Christ and are strengthened in their faith by these Christian camp ministries. So the kingdom of God, is it growing because of places like Graphite Bible Camp? Absolutely. You know, in all these communities around us, there are wonderful works of God going on and taking place. It's exciting to think about what God is doing even in Camford and where we can join Him. But think about the men and women of faith, like Doug and Marion Robinson, who trusted and obeyed the God's leading in their lives. As we see in all through the Acts, Paul and Barnabas, right? Giving their lives, completely committing to the discipleship journey. So I would ask you this morning, ask the Lord what He wants you to do in your journey of discipleship and making disciples. Now, perhaps in the fall, many kids are going off to high school, college and university, God's got a plan for you there. But ask yourself, God, what do you want me to do in this next journey of discipleship in my life? I'm not just being a disciple, but making a disciple. What's it going to be for you? Bacon or eggs? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the good news was faithfully preached by Paul and Barnabas, wherever they went. And we thank you, God, that you gave them many new converts that turned into disciples, churches that were planted. We thank you today, God, for those who prayed for us. We thank you for those that shared the gospel with us. And we are here today worshiping you because of their obedience, because of their passion to see souls saved by the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for those faithful servants of Christ who are here, who have gone on before us, but they have left for us such inspiration, such courage to carry on this ministry that Jesus started over thousands of years ago. Lord, help us as a church to be committed to the cause of Christ in all that we say and do in our communities. In Jesus' name.